Welcome back to National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Mattson. I was just walking over this little exhibition hall we have here at the National Geographic headquarters. And if you're in Washington, D.C., you're all invited to come in and see this. We have this amazing display on frogs. And we've got the usual stunning photographs that Geographic has. But here we've actually got some live frogs set up in terrariums. And there was one exhibit of these frogs that are... They're so brilliantly colored, and they're these little tiny frogs. They look like they can't be real. But in fact, these are real frogs. And if looks could kill, these frogs could do it, because they're the dart poison frogs. And we're joined now by Valerie Clark, who is in Madagascar at the moment, studying frogs, and in particular, poisonous frogs. Valerie, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
These frogs, it's interesting. They've evolved. They developed this toxicity. It's because of what they eat that they become poisonous?
They actually acquire their toxins from their diet, which mostly is ants, but also millipedes, mites, beetles, and other toxic insects.
They're taking whatever the ants have or that they're using for protection, and then the frogs are absorbing that, and what, it goes into the skin?
Exactly how it came to be that the frogs, these poison frogs, could eat toxic insects and not succumb to the toxins themselves certainly would take some time to develop, or else all frogs would eat toxic insects and become toxic. The poison frogs in Madagascar that are able to take up toxins from their diet, their most closely related frogs in the similar group of frogs don't have any toxins. And then if you look at some of these, you know, dart poison frogs and other tropical poison frogs in the New World or Neotropics in Central and South America, they're most closely related cousins within the same family of frogs also don't have toxins. So it appears that actually this ability to take up the toxins from their diet has arisen independently in these different groups of frogs that are not related, because it doesn't occur in the groups of frogs that are most related, closely related to them.
They've also become brightly colored. Is that like a warning to the other animals to stay away?
It's a warning that says, don't eat me or die.
Like a flashing neon sign. And some of them, the colors are so brilliant. Do their cousins have the same colors? Or as they became toxic themselves, did they also change in their colors? Did that become an evolutionary development as well?
Your first question, do their cousins have the same colors, is generally no, with some exceptions. There is a mimic here in Madagascar that looks very much like one of the toxic frogs. However, the mimic is not toxic. But in the more general sense, all the other frogs that are closely related don't have these kinds of bright colors. And it's generally restricted to just those frogs that are toxic, because after all, you do need something to back up your bark, or else you're getting bitten.
We're talking with Valerie Clark here on National Geographic Weekend. She's a National Geographic grantee and a scientist studying frogs in Madagascar. And these frogs, these poisonous frogs, unlike most frogs that are very active at night, they will come out in the day because they're pretty brazen.
A lot of insects, there's some insects, certain ants, that are only really active during the day and accessible as a food resource. And by being active during the day, they're tapping into this resource that many other frogs aren't using.
And do they only eat these insects that help them with their toxicity, or do they eat any kind of ant? And how do they know the difference?
That's an excellent question, and it hasn't really been explored yet. And currently developing some experiments in collaboration with the Bronx Zoo and a high school student that I'm mentoring named Amanda Epstein in Long Island. And what we're going to be doing at the Bronx Zoo is feeding Mentella poison frogs insects that have been dusted with an alkaloid or a toxin mixture, and other ones that have just been dusted with kind of a standard, like vitamins and things.
So the thought is that they can actually sense that this ant has more than just a nutrition for them.
Well, they have a taste.
They have a taste?
Indeed, because, I myself am getting a little reputation as a frog licker, but if you actually taste some of these alkaloids, I've tasted them pure in the lab and that sort of thing when working in Daly's lab, and they have a very bitter taste, just like medicines, because alkaloids, generally, they have nitrogen and include things like cocaine, nicotine, and caffeine. And as you might be familiar, hopefully not with all of those, but they're all quite bitter tasting, just like many medicines are alkaloids, and they're also bitter tasting. So it could be that frogs just associate bitter with something that they should eat more of, but whether that's the case or not, we just don't know yet.
Well, this is just fascinating. Valerie Clark, a National Geographic grantee, joining us talking about frogs. And just one final thing, Valerie. If you touch these poisonous frogs, that its toxicity is in their skin, Does that affect you just from touching the skin? Can you pick them up with your bare hands?
Well, that really depends on the population that you're looking at, because since the frogs are getting the chemicals from the food that they eat, it really depends on each different place that you go to and sample the frogs. And as long as you don't really have a cut in your hand or anything like that, you're generally okay. But if you touch them and then you wipe your eyes or something, then you'll get a major burning sensation. Or if you touch your face or if you have a cut, then you'll get a burning sensation that can last usually about 10 minutes, but they're known to sometimes take effects for more than 12 hours.
But it's okay to pick them up if you don't have any cuts and as long as you wash your hands afterwards before you touch any open areas.
For the most part, but you never know just how toxic these frogs will be. So there's always a chance that you'll end up going and picking up the wrong frog that ate the most horridly toxic insect, in which case it could very well go right through your skin. Or even sometimes breathing, because these alkaloids are often volatile, or they kind of evaporate into the air. And if you get it too close to your face and you breathe it, that can also burn your throat.
Whoa. So do you wear a mask or do you wear gloves when you're dealing with these frogs?
No, because generally I like to experience those effects and get an idea immediately of how toxic the populations are. So I have an idea what to expect when I get back to the lab. Kind of a no-fear kind of girl. But if I was in Colombia, South America, for example, studying the true poison dart frogs that are used to poison blowgun darts.
What inspired you to decide that frogs were what you wanted to study?
Well, when I was about 16 years old, I contacted John Daly at the National Institutes of Health, and he has been pioneering the studies of toxins in poison frogs for over 50 years and has served as an incredible mentor to me. And without him, I never could have pursued these studies with the vigor that I have.
Is he still doing research?
He is. Despite pancreatic cancer that he's been diagnosed with, he's still going into the lab and pushing forward with his cutting-edge research. And I think he's just an inspiration to everybody out there that it's really mind over matter, and that when you really love what you do and are dedicated to your research, that you can overcome anything and do it well.
You're carrying on that tradition and mentoring someone yourself. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Finally, the public seems to have bought into the idea of alternative energy sources. It's all the rage right now. People want wind power or solar power. We see the panels out there, we see the windmills, but how do we tap into those electrons? Well, we will explain, because it's time for our Green Guide segment, coming up right after this break here on National Geographic Weekend. I'm Boyd Matson.